Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hope your Sunday is going well. The weather should cooperate with outdoor plans today. 60s this afternoon, blue sky, a fresh breeze. Hope you can sneak outside and enjoy what should be a fine spring day. Great to see it greening up, just an explosion of growth and new life. And I'm always amazed after the winters we muddle through in Minnesota that anything comes back to life. I mean, to me, that's an annual miracle that stuff turns green. Hey, I found it interesting. By the way, Sports Huddle will be back as soon as there's sports. Everybody's fine. Sid's fine. Dave Mona's fine. I found it interesting that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell called the Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred, a few weeks ago, and apparently said, America needs baseball. It's a sign of getting back to normal. Is there any chance? Not sure what the answer was. I think the answer was stay tuned. Last week, Anthony Fauci, the epidemiologist, said that America is not ready yet. His words, I'd love to be able to have all sports back, but as a health official and a physician and a scientist, I have to say right now, when you look at the country, we're not ready for that yet. And yet, Major League Baseball apparently is still talking about ways that this could happen, with or without fans, keeping players, keeping staff safe. And I thought, well, look, let's chat about this with Mike Maxson and get his take, which is always interesting. Mike, thanks for joining me this morning.
Oh, good to be with you, Paul. It's different. That music that you were playing to open it, too, it makes me miss church, you know? I mean, you can watch it on TV, but when you're in person, it's different, and you just feel it different, and that song resonates for all of us. But for some of us on Sundays or whenever we can go, it's you realize what you're missing when you hear something like that.
Hey, Maxie, we're Glenn McKinney, Pastor at Riverside Church in Big Yep. Lake joins us at 10:30, and Pastor Stephen Weens, Genesis Covenant Church in Robbinsdale at 11:30. So, no, you can't go to church. We're going to try to bring church to you, some mini sermons. And for now, I'd be curious, a mini sermon from you about how sports unites us, right? Very few things these days unite us. But, man, I really miss, for a lot of reasons, like everybody else, the collective experience of rooting for the hometown team.
And baseball is the best one because it's every day. And so it becomes this 162-game, six-month grind where every day you have something to look at, and it can divert you for a bit. If you want to get so engaged, you can listen to or watch the whole game. It's whatever you want, but it's just there for you all week for 6 months. You get to do it. Now, When Dr. Fauci was talking about sports coming back, I don't know if he meant that with fans or without, but I ran into Dr. Osterholm, and he spends a lot of time in our TV studios because they do those satellite hookups for the national interviews all the time. Mm-hmm. And I ran into him just the other night, and he said, hey, baseball without fans would be just fine from a health standpoint.
And yeah, I think you're right. I think Fauci was talking about with fans.
Yeah, and I think most of us have resigned ourselves to the fact that we're not even, you know, beggars can't be choosers. I mean, we just want something, a slice of. And I think people would be just fine, particularly starting out while we continue to learn more about trying to conquer this virus. Give us something. Give us something that we can kind of grab onto and hold on to. And if that's an empty stadium and the Twins playing and Dan Gladden and Corey on the call, we're all in. And I do think they will get to that. I do. I do think by July, barring some catastrophic movement or, you know, wave or whatever, I do think that they can get there. I think the Players Association, as this moves on, is getting more and more tuned in, I guess, and educated. And I do think if there's enough people like Dr. Osterholm that say you could do it, I think they will. And I don't think, personal opinion, just nature of the game, that baseball is at high risk just in playing the game of spreading a virus, just because there's really minimal contact and you can do some things with your spacing. And then you throw in the demographic. I mean, this has not been, athletic males in their 20s and 30s that have no prior symptoms or have any reason to believe they're at risk. Those people, I think, are pretty safe. So I do think we'll see baseball.
Boy, I hope you're right. And then I wonder if baseball comes back and if it works and people are, you know, moderately happy with the outcome, I wonder if that will serve as a template for football in the fall. I know it's apples and oranges and there's a lot more, obviously, human contact. But again, without the fans, I'm kind of resigned that if Fauci and Osterholm are right and there is a second wave, I don't think there's any way on God's green earth that we would have, you know, fans in the stands.
No.
Can you imagine 60,000 people rubbing elbows in a giant petri dish?
No. Yeah, I think the only way you could do that is if you started, say, in July, and the reports kept getting better, the curve kept getting flattened, and you say, okay, we're going to allow 3,000 people in, and then in a month from that, we're going to allow 6,000 people in with some, you know, restrictions, and you know, it just seems like as we get more educated, and I think the people are really doing a good job of staying educated. I mean, at the stores I go to, the coffee shop this morning, the 6 feet and the you know the tape markings that they have, I think people are incredibly in tune with what's going on and educated on it. So I do think that they, whenever they come back, they're going to have a huge advantage that people understand it. So if they ever let people in and they need to do it with some modifications, I think they'll be able to do it, but they're not ready for that yet.
Hey, Max, let me ask you a question. You've always been a straight shooter. I'm curious, do you think the media in general, not talking necessarily Twin Cities media or Minnesota media, but the media blanket, are we overhyping things? Are we sensationalizing things? Are we overly alarmist? I mean, I look at some of the headlines, I'm alarmed. You don't want to scare people, but you don't want to sugarcoat either and ignore what's happening on the ground. So finding that balance, that middle ground, where you give people the information they need to make smart decisions to protect themselves without overly alarming them, what do you think?
My opinion on that is fairly simple. I think that as we, and you sat in, you've been in the, walking these same roads that I have, and you in weather for a long time exclusively, and me in sports, it's not like we're in the bowels of all the news discussions all the time and all those things. But I do think, Paul, that we have raised, maybe since the beginning of free speech and when newspapers were born, but we have raised journalists in general to look for the alarming. And I'm not always sure the context is correct, but if you turn on CNN, MSNBC, or Fox, you know, at the top of the hour, whatever their tease is going to be, is going to be the most alarming statistic that they can find. I'm tired of coronavirus hits a new high. Well, of course it's going to. And tomorrow it's going to hit another new high. And the next day it's going to hit another new high. We're not going to get less cases. They're not going to come in and reclassify these and say that everything is going to be on the rise. Deaths on the rise. But the context it is usually lost in that, because first you create the fear, then you come back and tell them the story. And I think too many people only hear the headline. And I do think that we all owe it to, especially right now, to the public. I look at the data from Minnesota, and they say, you know, make your decisions on data and science. And the truth is, it's generally speaking, people that are at risk, older, there's hardly a case of anybody that's been young, and certainly no one has died from it that's young. There have been cases of it. And I don't feel like we get sometimes, I think we need to hammer that home more. You know, let people know what the risks are, but let them know that a lot of us are doing really, really well right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In fact, I read this morning, 125 care facilities in Minnesota have been hit. Of those, 61 of those care facilities are in Hennepin County. Of the state's 371 deaths from COVID, 82% involved somebody who was 70 years old or older. And you know, I don't want to be throwing 70 or 80-somethings under the bus, but you got to just call it the way it is.
Call it the way it is,
And to your point, Mike, look, the cable networks, I think they want to inform, but I think just as important, I think they want to maintain their viewership.
Exactly,
right?
That's my point.
They want to keep people tuning in. And what keeps people tuning in? It's the old story. If a dog bites a man, that's not news. If a man bites a dog, that's news.
That's news, yep. I agree with you 100%, and that's what I'm saying. And I believe that as the industry evolves, and certainly to this day, we've kind of trained, not directly, maybe indirectly as much as anything, because it's what you see all the time. So young journalists become old journalists, and that becomes the way that you create ratings. And that's what you do, and that's what you look for, and that's the way you write it, and that's the way that's the sizzle that you create. And, lost in that many times is context, I think. And you have to be really, really careful about that, because it becomes, especially now, because it's like a hammer that hits you on the head every day. And you just keep pounding it and pounding it, and pretty soon you get people in a state of depression. Well, obviously, if that's what you see all the time, but if you could somehow recreate it and say, whoa, are we making some strides here? Boy, have we. Look at Minnesota. I'm really proud of Minnesota and how well they've done with this, Paul. I mean, I just think that we've reacted really well. We're doing the best we can. Governor Walz, is people will agree or disagree with him on businesses when they should go back, and I do too, but I mean, I think he is trying so hard to get this right. It's unbelievable. And we all are. And I think that there's something to be said for that. I think that there's some, I don't know if celebration's the right word, but I think we owe it to ourselves to go, hey, we are really trying hard to get this. And we really are working hard. And we really are doing what we're supposed to do.
Well said. There is a stoic, some would say stubborn determination.
Yeah.
To get this right. And it's never going to appeal to everybody. Not everybody's ever going to be happy about anything in this world. But I agree with you. I think the governor is doing the best he can to thread that needle. You go too fast, you hit the accelerator pedal, more people are going to die. But I haven't met a person yet who doesn't agree with a statement. Yes, we want things back to normal. We want things to open up. We want our economy back. We want our jobs back.
Yep.
Nobody wants to live in a welfare state. I don't want a handout. I want to earn my money.
No, and you know, the and you can see it, you know, and I don't think this would be a big part of the population, but you know, when you hear the stories of, well, we offered the job back to them, but they said, no, I don't want to come back, and I can make almost as much in unemployment. If that becomes a pattern, we got a problem, you know. But, you know, the other thing, Paul, is, and I heard a little bit Bruce and Peg talking about this. I thought it was a good point. There's going to be, that when you do massive initiatives like this, there's going to be a lot of mistakes made. I mean, you're going to be handing out money, and you just want to get this right as quick as you can. And I think we all have to be tolerant to the fact that government, Congress, they're going to make mistakes. You know, people are going to get money that aren't supposed to get money, things like that. But again, everybody's doing the best that they can to try to get this right. And there's going to be some you know, there will be some mistake-ridden storylines that come out of this. But the spirit of it is everybody's trying to get it right, and we're going to have to throw money at some things, then figure out where it fell through the cracks a little bit later.
You know who's trying to get it right, Mikey, is the Vikings. And, man, the draft seemed to go very right for the Vikings. We talk about the Vikings season coming up next.
Don't touch me now.
You might burn yourself.
Don't touch me now.
You might burn yourself.
It's getting hot up in here, so throw the water on them. It's getting hot up in here, so throw the water on them.
Yeah, I don't have that problem, but... Okay, don't touch me now. Yeah, keep your distance, please. 6 feet, preferably 60 feet. Yeah, 60 feet, that would be sufficient. Yeah, you're not doing it right unless you're shouting at people. Shouting at your neighbors. Why are you shouting? General Manager Rick Spielman of the Vikes had to overcome some significant technical hurdles, but he and a small team of colleagues set up shop at the GW Marriott at the Mall of America for the draft, the Vikings netting a whopping 15 selections, a league record for a seven-round draft. And Mike Max, it seems, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know you will, shipping Stephon Diggs off to Buffalo may have paid some pretty big dividends.
Yeah, you know, I was never... never a big Diggs guy. I always thought he was pretty good, and he certainly gave you some options, but I always thought he overvalued himself. I didn't think he was a big time Pro Bowl type receiver that you just run out there. And I always thought that he saw himself a little bit differently than that. That being said, obviously Buffalo saw him as a big time receiver because they gave up a lot to get him. And I thought the Vikings scored well on that. Now, it only matters if the draft picks that you make off of that, you know, if they yield the return, if Jefferson's a good receiver, then you've already paid for Diggs, you've lowered the salary cap, and you've still got more picks to go that you picked up along the way that will help you, you know, ultimately as well. So losing Stephon Diggs, to me, I think he's fairly replaceable, but there is a cut for those receivers where they're either you got to have a receiver that's good enough that the other team has to guard him, as they say.
Right.
And otherwise, you can just pay attention to Adam Thielen all day or whoever it is that you want to run out there. But you know, even last year when Thielen was hurt for a lot of the season, and it was Diggs, they were able to do a lot of things offensively with their passing game. So strategically, you can do a lot in the NFL. They're pretty complex, and Gary Kubiak can run that. So I thought on paper it was a good deal, and I thought it was time for Diggs to go because you can't although having said that, I'm going to say one thing on his behalf. Last year, after the Chicago game, he missed that practice. He got fined. He took the lumps. He said to the coaching staff what a lot of players wanted to say to the coaching staff and didn't dare. He called them out and said, we can't keep running the football. This isn't going to work. We need to be more balanced. And they changed, and they were, and they became a much better football team.
Yeah.
And he had the kahunas to do that. He put his money where his mouth was. He took the fine, the $200,000, and said, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. And so there is some courage under fire there that I admire about him, because it would have been easy for him just to say, I'm getting paid, and I'm just going to, you know, toe the company line.
Well, I wish him well with the Bills and hope it all works out the way he wants. Tell me a little bit about TCU cornerback Jeff Gladney, who was one of the people drafted. And I'm also curious about Ezra Cleveland. Ezra's getting a lot of buzz. Of course, he's a Boise State left tackle, and he's reunited with former Broncos teammate Alexander Mattison. So a lot of synergy here, and I'm hearing a lot of buzz about Gladney and Cleveland. What do you know?
Well, Gladney's going to have to play right away, you know, assuming there's a season because of, you know, you lose Trey Waynes and Xavier Rhodes. He's going to have to step in and play. He's kind of a mature kid. He's a tough kid. He's not afraid to fight, and so to speak, literally and figuratively. He got into a pretty good one with receiver from Baylor, I believe it was, during the year. And I think that actually caught the attention of Mike Zimmer, where he goes, hey, there's my kind of guy, you know. Coaches won't say it loud, but they'll say it. He was at TCU, very well coached down there. In fact, Jerry Kill is now the assistant head coach there in charge of the offense. And Gary Patterson is the head coach. That's his good friend in charge of the defense. Patterson's kind of seen as a defensive guru that really knows the game. So, and I talked to Jerry Kill right before the draft. I think they like Gladney a lot there. I think they got someone that's not afraid of contact, that's not afraid to get after it, and that's going to have to play right away. So they needed somebody that was cocky that way and that would come in and try to lock somebody up. He seems intelligent when you talk to him, which is a big part of it, just understanding other quarterbacks, what they're trying to do to you. So, again, it's really hard to tell, and we haven't even seen a mini camp from these guys, nor will we. The first time we'll see him, if we do, is at training camp. So the other part of it, though, Paul, and this is where it's dangerous for the Vikings in accruing all those picks, is if the NFL goes on and it ends up being some kind of a hybrid version where they say, okay, 2 weeks of training camp and then the game start, 15 picks, 15 rookies trying to learn this game on the fly is not a good scene. And that's where they backed themselves into the corner a little bit, was given this year, you got 15 guys that don't understand the NFL trying to learn it in a crash course. And that's high risk for them right now.
A steep learning curve, right?
A steep learning curve, because it is tough in this league. They're so smart, so sophisticated. It's unbelievable, the nuances and what they'll do to you once they pick up on things.
Mikey, how are you doing? How are you holding up during these crazy times? I know you're the hardest working sports guy I know. Is everything going okay at home?
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, probably like a lot of people. I mean, it's been wonderful to spend more time with my family. I even did something that I haven't done in years yesterday, lawn work.
Really?
That's what that rake
is. Got that push mower. You're out there.
That's
with
what
that
rake is for, huh?
Yeah.
But I am afforded. See, for me, where I get my energy and my health is to be out in the field and with people, and I'm still able to do that. Now we do some of our interviews through Skype, and I stay here on for radio. I'm at TV right now, in fact, because I believe you mix things up. So the reason I came down here this morning to my studio at TV was, A, it's a clearer audio for you and I to talk on, but B, I wanted to go for a run by the river as soon as we were done, because that breaks it up. My point being, I keep looking for ways to do something different, and that really helps me from a health standpoint. And so if I run the river today, and then tomorrow I do the bike in my basement, and the next day I do something else. The other thing I'm going to do is we're going to start doing some fishing reports this week, so I'm going to go up and meet Steve Carney, great guide, on Wednesday. The fishing guides can't work in Minnesota either right now.
Really?
I didn't know that, but they're not allowed right now. They're not considered essential or essential enough. So they're sitting there, with an opener coming up, and they're telling people not to. I talked to Sarah Stroman the other day, the head of the DNR. They're basically telling people fish close to home, so the economy of up north, and Paul, spending a lot of time up there, you know how vibrant that can be when the opener's on or off. So
We're going to our cabin on Pelican. We would not miss that for the world. So
good for you, and you'll probably run into my brothers up there too.
They always stop by mooching stuff. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
I told them where you lived. I knew I'd regret it.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you for joining me this morning. It's just refreshing to kind of clear our mental palate and talk about sports. And at some point, it's going to come back. But I always appreciate your perspective. And have a great run, and we'll keep it going.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Maxie.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.